Now, Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.
Light the fuse and run now, brother, cause you ain't got a lot of time. Don't you act surprised when it all goes to hell on your dime.
I mean, I don't even want Trump to be president, but I'm like, really? Come on. This indictment is hilarious. 31 counts under the Espionage Act. And Biden skates continually. I'm not trying to do a whataboutism, but I'm like, serious. I can't take you serious until you take Biden had classified documents, which clearly are linked evidentiarily. Is that a word? I can make up words. I'm a show host. Evidentiarily to his bribery scandal. Because they were stored in an office that they shared with a front company from the Communist Party. And we're not even, like, at this point, they haven't even interviewed Biden about that. So it's like, all I'm saying is this. Look, I'm not saying, like, hey, but whataboutism, but I am kind of, sometimes whataboutism actually matters. It matters when you have two systems of justice, right? Like, I get it. Whataboutism is so old and boring in politics because usually people use it as an excuse to let their guy or gal skate. And I get that. And I get that it's annoying and it's old. But really, there's a reason why it comes about. And it comes about because you have two systems of justice. That's the problem that we have here. It's pretty clear. This is what's happening. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting. Rachel Maddow on MSNBC said, kind of said the quiet part out loud. I don't know where she gets this information from, but check this out. I guess we have to push the button.
But you have to wonder if the Justice Department is considering whether there is some political solution to this criminal problem, whether part of the issue here is not just that Trump has committed crimes, but that Trump has committed crimes and plans on being back in the White House. Do they consider, as part of a potential plea offer, something that would proscribe him from running for office again?
That is fascinating, because do you realize what she's advocating for? Oh, Lordy. It's a Friday. I don't want to go too far down this serious road. I'm sure you've heard 15,000 takes on this, and you'll watch the Fox News, and we're headed into the weekend, and we're going to talk about space aliens on Twisted View, and it's going to be way more fun. But we got to talk about it for a second, right? It's Leland Conway Show. Text the show directly, Leland, to 57739, 57739. Again, I try to be intellectually honest. Like, that's what I try to do. And I realize we're all hypocrites on some level. Like, I think every human being is hypocritical. It's in our nature to be. It's a protective mechanism. It's not an excuse for it. I'm just saying that when you should just work hard to be as little bit of a hypocrite as you can. And so, like, intellectual honesty is very, very important to me. And I get where, you know, y'all know my agenda. My agenda is liberty. It's definitely right of center. Especially when it comes to, I mean, I'm pretty socially liberal in how I vote. Like, I don't care what you do with your life. I'm socially conservative in my own personal life, but and fall short of that regularly, but that's my personal thing. I'm not here to tell you how to live your personal life. I love you no matter what, but fiscally I'm as conservative as it gets. I want government out of my way and I want to keep my money. And I try to be intellectually honest about everything, right? I try to, as much as possible. I'm not always, but I try. And so this Trump thing, and again, I know I keep reminding you I don't like him, and I think it's important that I remind you that I don't like him because I want you to understand I'm not coming from this from the Rumpelstiltskin point of view. I saw somebody tweet on social media. They posted a picture of some pontificator who tweeted, "Trump's been indicted. I don't care. I'm still voting for him." And I'm like, okay, do you even know what the substance of the indictment is? Come on, man. You don't sit there and just go, I'm reflexively going to vote for somebody just because you're like, think it through. Right. So I'm trying to tell you, I'm not coming from that place because I don't like that place. I don't buy into the cult of personality. What I am saying is there's so much evidence We know now what's in that 1023 document. Well, at least we're being told what's in that 1023 document by Congress people who have seen it. And what they're saying is in it is that there's a very detailed from a paid FBI informant that they use on multiple occasions and they're currently using in multiple investigations who's come forward and said the president currently, then vice president, was involved in a bribery scheme that involved Burisma in the Ukraine. And this is where, you know, famously the flashback, Biden slipped up on international TV and essentially threatened Ukraine with monetary aid if they didn't fire the very prosecutor that he took a bribe, allegedly, to get rid of. It's all right there. There's the bank transactions. There's a witness to conversations. It's all there. And they haven't even, according to Representative, I think it was it Nancy Mace? They haven't even interviewed Biden yet. And this information's been around for years. Years. I don't like this lady. I'm just going to be honest with you. They call her MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't like her. She's kind of, in my opinion, she's kind of an idiot. She's definitely extreme. But she's one of the people that saw the 1023 document. And she summarizes. And the reason why I'm playing this is because she's the one that's come out and said what's in it. And nobody has refuted what she said yet. So that's what makes it kind of credible.
Back in 2015, 2016, Burisma was looking to buy a U.S.-based oil and gas company. And this came from being advised by Hunter Biden and his partners. Biden said Shokin was corrupt. That was around the time of this meeting, was when Joe Biden, as vice president, had said that the prosecutor Shokin was corrupt. They hired Hunter on the board to make the problems go away. That's what they specifically said. Hunter advised that they could raise more money if they bought a U.S. company. So the informant was trying to do the right thing and trying to advise Burisma that they shouldn't go this route. They should hire an attorney, work out their problems that they were being investigated for because they were having other legal problems. And that's why they were being investigated by this prosecutor Shokin.
So Biden takes a $5 million bribe to call this prosecutor corrupt, and he does so publicly in March of 2016.
So I got Ukraine, and I remember going over convincing our team, or others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to the press conference. I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Meaning solid as in would help Burisma out because his son is sitting on the board and Biden's taking a $5 million payment. And now we're giving hundreds of billions of dollars to the Ukraine, same country, who knows all of this, okay? We're beholden to them for billions of dollars and we're careening towards World War III. Which of these two things, President Trump taking home documents, which is the same thing Biden did, and Biden potentially selling us into World War III, which of these two things is a bigger, more important, more pressing, more time-sensitive story? That's the reason why I'm bringing this up, right? Like, I get it. Trump's been indicted on 31 counts. I get it. But I'm bringing this up because you have to understand that sometimes whataboutism actually frickin' matters. And this is one of those times. And look, if Trump's done something wrong here, like seriously, legitimately wrong, I'm totally cool with holding him to the fire. I don't care. I don't even want him in the race. But I do not want him not in the race because the Department of Justice decided to take him out, because that means something far worse than just a corrupt president. And it means something far worse than just Orange Man Bad being back in office. And granted, I'll take Orange Man Bad over what we have right now. I'm just saying it's not my preference. And I don't care I do not care what his legal fates are, so long as they're actual real legal fates based on real actual crimes as opposed to political persecution, which is very clear to me what's happening. Because it's hard to make the case. Because, again, this is the whole point. Why am I bringing up the Burisma thing? Because we are careening towards World War III and potentially nuclear war. Because we're fighting a proxy war in the Ukraine. Why are we giving so much money to this country who's got a bunch of Nazis on the front line? We're supporting them. Lefties are looking the other way. They're putting Ukrainian flags in their bio along with their pronouns on Twitter. And I'm sitting here going, do you guys realize what's going on? And all of this is in a country that knows the facts. They have the deets. They have the receipts. And now we're starting to uncover the receipts here in the United States of these payments. Which of these two stories is a bigger, more important, more time-sensitive story? Trump took some documents home, and maybe he planned on profiting from them. And if he did, he should be punished. Or this dude selling us into World War III and compromising us with China. Come on. It doesn't take all you have to do to figure out which of these stories is more important is to be intellectually honest and go, okay. You have to be able to hold both of them in your head, right? Like, you have to be okay with Trump being held accountable for whatever he may or may not have done, but you have to be totally not okay with Biden not being held accountable at all. And unless you can come to that place, you are intellectually dishonest. Representative Nancy Mace of South Carolina.
I would characterize it as a detailed document. It was very credible and legitimate. I would not brush it off like the FBI has. And it corroborates other information that we've seen in other places, because the document, for one example, talks about not just $5 million, but $10 million going to the Biden family, half of that going to Hunter Biden, the other half going to Joe Biden. When you look at Hunter Biden's emails and him lamenting and complaining that he had to give half of his income to his father, and then you listen to recordings and other investigations about oligarchy, also talking about paying off the Bidens. When you add it all together, it's absolutely something that should be investigated to the fullest extent.
Wow. Again, I keep coming back to which story is more time sensitive. And I'll go back to Rachel Maddow in a second, because I want to go back to her soundbite, because it's really interesting that she would make that statement. But a little bit more from Nancy Mace here on the whistleblower.
Well, in terms of what meetings took place and the information shared in those meetings by the witness. And here's the thing. The FBI originally wouldn't say that the document even existed. And then it magically appeared out of thin air. And then they said we couldn't see it. Then we said only the chairman could see it, but it had to be redacted. And finally, with the threat of contempt, all of us on the oversight committee were able to go into a classified room to review an unclassified document. What I want the mainstream media to have is an actual copy of this document so they can see for themselves a legitimate.
By the way, let me ask you this question. What would be the purpose if the FBI was actively investigating Biden for all of this? Then the FBI could say, we have evidence, we're investigating it, we don't comment on ongoing investigations. They didn't say that. They lied and said the document didn't exist. And when they found out there was proof the document existed, then they said, well, we have it, but you can't see it. And then when they got threatened with contempt, they said, well, one of you can see it, but the rest of you can't see it, and only temporarily. And then when they actually had contempt staring down their throat, they said, well, you can see it. What is the purpose of that if not to cover for Biden? Because if you were truly investigating it, you would have been like, yeah, we got it, we're looking into it. That's all you had to say. Yeah, we got it, we're looking into it. We don't have any information yet. We don't comment on ongoing investigations, but we're looking into it. That's all you had to say. When you lied, we now know that you are being partisan. That's the problem here.
Accusations here and of bribery. And when you look at the bank records, the dozens of shell companies, when Biden says, where's the money? I think that was a Freudian slip. The money is in all of the shell companies that your family created to get money funneled from other countries into your back pocket.
Now, here's the other thing to think about. the same day that we're getting revelations about this document, the same day that it's been revealed, and now people are talking about what they saw when they saw this document, an indictment comes down against Trump.
It's not very long, but it's very detailed document. And it, to me, when I read it, it's very credible. And on Monday, even the chairman of oversight, Jamie Comer, he was told that there is an investigation. We don't know what investigation it's being utilized in, but this is legitimate. It's real. And when you couple that with the indictment last night that came down on Donald Trump on the day that we looked at evidence of corruption, you know, you're watching the executive branch try to take out their political enemies because of the accusations against the Biden family.
There's no question in my mind that the law enforcement arm of the U.S. government has been weaponized against one specific political opponent.
This is the executive branch tonight trying to take out their number one opponent for the presidency of the United States in 2024. And they have one standard for Donald Trump and another standard for everybody else in this thing. And if you look at the documents that President Biden had in his possession in his garage and in thousands of boxes and God knows where across the country in places that we don't even know of yet.
And there's, but let me just point this out. There are no accusations of Donald Trump at this point selling top secret information from the United States to a foreign actor. There is, however, compelling evidence that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden shared office space with a company that has been found to be a front company for the Chinese Communist Party, where we believe some of those classified documents that Biden had possession of may have been stored. At least we need to look into that. And when you look at that as compared to Trump took some documents, and I think a lot of the documents that Trump had, I don't have confirmation of this, but I think a lot of them had to do with him being spied on and the way the intelligence community was abusing its power. And I think that's why they are going so hard after him, because they do not want that to get out any more than it already has. Certainly not in a reputable way. It doesn't take much to add things up.
But you have to wonder if the Justice Department is considering whether there is some political solution to this criminal problem, whether
there's only one network. Well, no, there's several networks. Okay, how do I put this? You go to the left-wing media and you say to them, you know, why don't you guys float out the idea that if Trump makes a plea deal, we'll back off? Because they know that the left-wing media and people like hacks like Rachel Maddow won't even question that. Like, they're not intellectually honest enough to go, wait a minute, I'm promoting the idea of a Justice Department participating in our electoral process. That's what she's promoting. And she doesn't even think twice about it. Dude, I'm telling you, man, I don't even like Orange Man bad, but this smells as bad as something can smell. I had something rotten in my refrigerator yesterday. I had to clean the whole damn thing out. This smells worse than that. It turned out to be an old piece of fish. This smells worse than an old piece of fish. It's so bad. Coming up next, though, what if we could get fossil fuels out of windmills? 630K how?
Now, back to more Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.
I always forget and I start eating my snack right before we get back on the air. It's just a little dark chocolate with some mint in it. Anyway, fun twisted view coming up today. We're going to taste test. I don't know if B-Large is up for this, but he's going to have to do it because I told him he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to do it whether he wants to or not. But we're going to do a little taste testing of 7-Eleven hot wings. Kel's on our way to get those. Hopefully. So apparently 7-Eleven's doing hot wings now. Because, I mean, I think the best place to get hot wings is probably a convenience store, don't you think?
I mean, they've had them for a while.
Okay. I did not know this. Yeah.
Do you frequent 7-Eleven?
Nah, not really.
Yeah. I used to work selling beer to 7-Elevens.
So. I have a driver that takes my car to get its gas. No, I just don't buy gas at 7-Eleven.
The gray poop on.
Give me some gray poop and digin. And fill my gas tank up, will you please, Ron?
Jeeves.
I used to do that. I worked at, when I was in college, total side note, but here, whatever. It's my show. I can chase rabbit trails. When I was in college, I worked for a Lexus dealership. That's why I have a Lexus today, just because it's one of my vehicles. I love Lexus. I've always loved Lexus. Let me tell you why I love Lexus. So I worked for a Lexus dealership, And I was doing detail. So I would clean the cars up, get them ready for delivery, or trade-ins. I would clean those out. And I made a bunch of money because my boss couldn't figure out why I always volunteered to clean out the vacuums at the end of the week. We had the wet vacs. And he couldn't figure out, like, why are you all, because he just thought I was a great worker. And he was like, Leland, I love that you always do this, but why do you always, like, you'll snap at somebody if they want to do it. I'm like, because, man. Every Friday night at the end of our shift, I would go clean out all the wet vacs, and I would make, like, $27, $30, $35. Most I ever got pulled out of was $52 and change.
Wow.
That had just been accumulated over the course of the week from vacuuming out used cars that came in. That was my date money for the week. It was like extra money. It was a disgusting job because those wet vacs are really disgusting. You'd have to dump all of it out, and then you'd have to clean the money off because it was really bad. But I'd take that in the bank, you know, and cash it in. But anyway, I got buddy-buddy with the Lexus salespeople because they drove the nice cars. And I would be like, hey, if you want me to wash your car on a Friday night, I'll knock it out for you for $20 after my shift. And then they started letting me drive their cars to go get gas. So I would go get gas for the Lexus sales guys. And most of them had like BMWs and Mercedes. One of them had a 12-cylinder Jaguar. And his name was Chauncey. And Chauncey was their best salesperson. And I love this guy. He would come over and be like, here's $25, wash my car, take it down and get it gassed up. And I don't care when you come back. Just be here before I leave. It's like I got to drive the car.
There you go.
I love it. But I fell in love with Lexus because I remember we had a Lexus LS400 come in from a Kentucky horse farm. And somebody had driven this thing around the horse farm. Like, it had mud caked up in the suspension. This is a sedan. This is not one of their SUVs. This is a sedan. We cleaned this thing up. We shampooed the carpets. We cleaned it up. And then just to see if it would, we tested this. You remember the old commercials for Lexus where they'd put the champagne glass on the hood and it wouldn't, like, it would be still, like, that's how quiet and smooth they ran?
Mm-hmm.
It still passed it. It had, I kid you, I am not kidding you, it had 382,000 miles on it. A Lexus LS400. And I was like, holy crap. So anyway, I don't know how I got on the side. Oh, I don't really have a driver that gets my gas. I don't get gas at 7-Eleven. But hell,
Kelka, like, how'd this happen again?
I don't know. I get down the rabbit hole, and I'm like, how did I show up here? I have no idea.
We started at Chicken Wings, and we were talking about Lexuses.
Is there any other talk show host that can do that, though? By accident. Totally by accident.
You reeled it back in. It's all good.
Anyway, Kel's on her way to 7-Eleven to get us some hot wings to taste. We're also going to talk about space aliens being real. And there's a couple other stories that I think Ross Kaminsky and Dave Tepper will find very interesting as well as you. So we're going to have a good time. Coming up in just a minute, I got to talk about a story, though, a political story that I'm absolutely excited about. And it's a new bill being posed in the state of New York that would force windmills and solar panels to be made without any fossil fuel use. It's hilarious. I'll give you the deets on that in just a minute. But I want to go back to the Trump indictment versus Joe Biden investigation thing. And I want to play the Rachel Maddow soundbite. And I have some text I want to read from you guys here in just a second. But I want to play the soundbite again because this is an important point.
But you have to wonder if the Justice Department is considering whether there is some political solution to this criminal problem, whether part of the issue here is not just that Trump has committed crimes, but that Trump has committed crimes and plans on being back in the White House. Do they consider as part of a potential plea offer something that would proscribe him from running for office again?
Okay, so it's Rachel Maddow. We get it. Do you think, in all honesty, do you think she's wishful thinking? Which is a problem in and of itself. Not that I care what Rachel Maddow thinks, but there's a point I'm getting to. Or do you think she's been talking to somebody in the Justice Department and she's floating their idea? Because often that's how it works with the big networks. We get a leak of an indictment coming. It's usually a political play. It's propaganda process. And I think it could be a combination of both. Because I think it's clear from her tone in this statement that she would love for that to be the case. Because there are a lot of people in America that they don't really care how it happens. They just want Trump gone. They don't care how he's moved off of the national stage. They just want him not to be on it anymore. And if that means that a corrupt Department of Justice is putting its finger on the scale of the American election system and our quote unquote democracy, to use their word, they're fine with that. And I have an intellectual issue with that. And I feel like I feel like I have a little bit of moral high ground here because I've told you time and time again, I don't like Orange Man bad. And I mean that. I voted for him because I didn't want socialism. I'm unsure whether I would hold my nose and vote for him again. It's all going to have to depend on what the choices are at the time. I could not vote for Joe Jorgensen, who's been on my show, because after I talked to her, she was nothing but a police hater. So I couldn't go in the last election as bad as I wanted to, man. I had her on my podcast. I was like, please give me a reason to go libertarian in this election because I don't like it. I am uncomfortable as an American who tries to be intellectually honest about things politically and tries to get to the bottom of solutions to big problems. I am uncomfortable being in the position that as a voter, I am often put in either wasting my vote on a stupid pothead libertarian candidate that will go nowhere or choosing between two incredibly evils. I'm sick of it. I don't know if you feel what I feel, but that's what I feel. And I'm just being honest about what I feel, and I'm sick of it. So I'm trying to be intellectually honest, but at the end of the day, if you have media members openly, blissfully musing about the idea of the Department of Justice coming to a presidential candidate, a current presidential candidate, and saying, if you'll get out of the race, we won't prosecute you. What does that say? Again, trying to be intellectually honest. It says that whatever you did that was so serious that it required 31 counts of an indictment under the Espionage Act was clearly not serious enough for us to put you in jail because we'll let you go free if you just don't run for office. And you just don't give the people of the United States the opportunity to choose you. Think about what that means for our system. If you're one of those people that just wants him gone, think about what that means for our system. And again, you can be like me and you cannot like the choices and you cannot like that he's in there. But it's where I come down on being a First Amendment absolutist and a Second Amendment absolutist. I don't like that there's criminals that use guns, but I will never advocate taking them away from law-abiding citizens. I don't like that there's hateful, racist, mean, terrible, awful people saying racist, terrible, mean, awful things. And I don't like that there's people with extremist points of view. I don't like that. Sam, I am. I do not like it. But I know it's important that everyone be allowed to speak their mind because it's important that those that have the right ideas are allowed to compete in the marketplace. So that's all I wanted to say about that. I just, it's a big freaking deal. Leland, here's where I am on this, right, 6166. If Trump is indicted or not, it is time for a mass purge of government officials and agencies. There's too much corruption in front of our faces, and it's time to make these people afraid again. We the people run this country, not the other way around. Go after everyone and let the chips fall where they may. You kind of sound like you're maybe in that place that Mark Levin, another talk show host, is in.
And let me say this. Today, what is today's date? June 8th? June 8th is the day of insurrection, not January 6th. A weaponized U.S. attorney, a weaponized attorney general of the United States, have unleashed the full force of the United States government against a former president, the leading Republican nominee to take on the existing president. We have never seen anything like this in the United States. We saw it under Stalin. We've seen it in other autocracies, Marxist regimes, fascist regimes, the Third World. But they have taken the United States of America and they have dragged us into a hellhole. This is embarrassing. It's humiliating. And I'm going to tell you something. There are tens of millions of us. You have crossed the Rubicon twice, which has never been done. And we will never forgive you. Never, ever. And that's the bottom line. I'm done.
He's pretty upset, isn't he? I think he's pretty upset. And I don't agree with Mark Levin on everything. I think, he's obviously an effective talk show host. And sometimes I agree with him. I don't know, maybe 60, 65% of the time, but he's kind of right. if that's where we are. So anyway, I just wanted to point all that out. All right. This is my favorite story. I'm going to give you the hint on it, and then we'll do the details when we continue in just a minute. By the way, Leland says, of 2188, once I did 132 miles an hour on the CT Turnpike in an XJ12 Jag on a service test drive. Smooth. I bet. That is a badass car. Breaks down all the time. Jaguars are not great on maintenance, just like Land Rovers. But I have a Land Rover, too, and I love it, but I actually have to spend like $8,000 on it right now. Yeah, it's not fun. But I bought it because I love it and I wanted it and I knew it was going to be a money pit when I bought it. It's just sometimes you just work hard for something and you earn it and you're like, I like it. It's like owning a classic car. It is what it is. But it's fun to drive, especially off-road. Best off-road vehicle that was ever made. Ever made. Amazing. Oh, I thought you were going to say something about that. But yeah, no, the XJ12, that's what the guy Chauncey had. He had an XJ12. Badass car. Long hood because it had 12 freaking cylinders in the engine, man. And boy, was it smooth. You get out on the highway, you just feel it. I love that. I'll never give up gas engines, man. I freaking love them. I love them too much. There's something about, like, I'm not saying I'm against electric cars, but there's something about the feel of the gas. Like, it's not almost, it's, with electric cars, it's immediate, and that's cool, too. But with gas, it's like, you feel it, and you feel the road, and you feel like it takes a second, right? It's like responding to you. It just, it's not, I don't know, man. There's something about it. All right, here's just the headline. I'll give you the details in just a minute. New York State lawmaker, who's a Republican, wants to ban the use of fossil fuels in the making of wind turbines and solar panels. I'm going to tell you why this is the greatest thing I have ever heard of. I can't believe that other Republicans haven't proposed this in every freaking state. We need to absolutely do it. I'll talk about that next. 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. Holly writes in via the Facebooks. She sent us a picture of her Stang. I was about to ask if it was a 5.0, but it is, because I just looked at what year is that though. That's, I had a friend that had a 1987, I think it was, Mustang 5.0. It was all black. It was badass. She just sent us her two-tone one, which is gray and blue, gray on the bottom, blue on top. Pretty cool, Holly. So yeah, it is a 5.0. That's awesome. All right, here's the story. I love this story. A New York lawmaker is filing a piece of legislation that would ban the use of fossil fuels in the making of wind turbines and solar panels. If it were to pass, basically it would be the end of renewable energy. There's no feasible way to manufacture and transport wind turbines, solar panels, and other electric vehicles without fossil fuels. New York, this is from Cowboy State Daily from Wyoming. New York State Senator George Borrello, a Republican, has introduced a bill to require that all wind turbines, solar collectors, and infrastructure for producing green energy be manufactured and constructed without the use of fossil fuels. His bill would also apply to the manufacture and distribution of electric vehicles. If the bill were to become law, it would be the end of renewable energy. Borrello is well aware of the fact, and said he suspects most of his colleagues in the New York legislature are aware of it, too. Like a resolution that was introduced in the last Wyoming legislative session earlier this year that would have banned auto dealerships from selling electric vehicles, the goal of Borrello's bill is to get people thinking a bit harder about the outcomes of extreme green policies. He gets it. It's a stupid law. He's not really trying to pass it, but he's trying to make the point that if you just switch to an electric car, you haven't become any greener. If anything, you have to realize you're using child slave labor in Africa to get cobalt out of the ground so you can drive around with your little bumper sticker that says you save lives by not killing the planet or whatever.
Can we refer to those people as like not going green, but going yellow?
Right? I mean, here's the thing. Somebody texted about our conversation with Mike Johnston yesterday. And Mike Johnston clearly is all in on the climate change thing. But he was basically like, hey, I'm all of the above on energy alternatives. He's open to nuclear. And he recognizes that it's been overlooked, that it's been overhyped, that it's a problem. And I'm like, okay, we can have a conversation there, right? Like, I don't necessarily agree with where he's at on the whole climate change thing. He doesn't agree with me and my fossil fuel cars, I guess. But if we want to have a solution about clean air, because I am for clean air, then we can find common ground on saying, well, we need an affordable, abundant, available, and applicably efficient form of energy so that people's lifestyles don't fall through the cracks and we don't stop having a middle class, because what makes a middle class possible is cheap energy. That's the bottom line. What makes business possible, what makes jobs possible, what makes a middle class, a healthy, vibrant, upwardly mobile middle class possible, is cheap energy so that people can start businesses, they can get to and from jobs, they can go on vacations, they can buy products that aren't prohibitively expensive, they can enjoy a high style of life like we do here in the United States, a standard of living beyond anything else in the world. And we can do that because we have a strong, vibrant middle class that has affordable energy, all up until this president started working on it. So we have to have an affordable energy source that's abundant and efficient. It can produce the same amount of energy for at or about the same price or less, and that it's always abundant and available. If you don't have that, you don't have a middle class, you don't have a business sector, you don't have an economy, everything falls down, we're done. Bottom line. I love this law. The point that it's making, I freaking love it. Yeah, it's a political stunt. Good. Coming up next, Twisted View. The space aliens are real. And so might be our indigestion from hot wings from 7-Eleven. B-Large will be here. Super Shoe, Dave Tepper, Ross Kaminsky coming up next. 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station.